Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Good after Independence afternoon. Hey, we just started. Okay, you know.
Yeah. And actually, our discussion today also has a very weird, if I can say, flavor to it.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
A flavor that, unfortunately, in 2026, since 2026 began with its own flavors and its own particular objectives.
2026 began with its own flavor. Where do you want to start? Politics, Venezuela, social, Namibia. You just recorded, you know, especially with, you know, especially about our gender, started recording one suicide after another.
Yeah.
And then, there by divorce, we're just doing very, very awesome. We're ranked number three from our former conjoined twin 10 neighbor, South Africa.
Mm.
And our, you know, distant, you know, cousin by geographic location and religion, I think that's Tunisia.
Mm.
So I think number one is Tunisia, number two South Africa, and we're number three. That's divorce.
Mm.
The suicide statistics, I don't think those ones, but please don't even do those ones. And
I can do that, but the downside is there will be loopholes in the stats. So
lots of them.
Yeah. Well, the loopholes would be in terms of how often we as the media get the crime report every Sunday. Which is also a little bit weird because the crime report gives you an ugly indication of specifically violent crime. And specifically violent crime on private property. So what are we talking about? House break-ins, burglaries, who stole what. Look, possession for the holy herb is not a violent crime.
That's not a
that
violent
was just
crime.
Someone being, you know, a peddler, someone being a courier from point A to point B of merchandise.
Yeah.
If you put it in inverted commas, you know.
If you want to use a movie to describe it, just say transporter.
Yeah, literally transporting from A to B the merchandise, you know, from producer to customer, merchandise.
So there's a whole supply chain.
Even if it's just up and down your street, that stuff happens.
Logistics.
Exactly. So you know, if you obviously look at domestic violence and events that have a domestic sense to them, you know, criminal activities, you can't actually, you know, you can see that, okay, that just means, you know, there are psychological problems in Namibian communities.
Mm-hmm.
But when you come to violent crime that you find, for example, that impacts private property or private interests. So we're saying a tourist that gets robbed.
Yeah.
Your house getting burgled or, what's the other one? Goods being stolen from where and where. That obviously should be the biggest indicators that directly impacts economic activity. Because a tourist will go tell 8 other tourists, I'm never coming back to Namibia.
Yeah.
I was robbed on the pavement. I thought the pavement was nice and clean. Then I was just shown, I was introduced to the pavement directly through indirect, you know, introductions by the asset forfeiture department that just suddenly popped up around the corner.
I lost my stuff.
Yeah, to the pavement.
Mm-hmm.
The pavement had 4 sort of like asset representatives who felt that
the pavement was wearing a pair of All-Stars.
Yeah. And a floppy hat, you know, that
was speaking broken Afrikaans.
A floppy hat that was literally 5 sizes smaller than his head, meant for a little child.
Yeah.
So that's the particular discussion that impacts, you know, the economy directly versus domestic violent crime, which is also a negative. I mean, it's one life lost or it's someone that had an economic activity being incarcerated, put in jail because of obviously being the perpetrator of said act.
Yeah.
Stuff like that, Helmut. So, yes, in every other sense, crime does impact the economy. However, we're looking at something else today. Literally.
You know, when you think of it, from the perspective of, you have, one individual that was basically participating in the economy and now they have gotten themselves on the wrong side of the authorities.
Yeah.
Now they're incarcerated, so they are not participating in the way that they were when they were, take for example, just when before they were incarcerated, they obviously, well, there's a you know, there's a job that they were doing, there were things that they were paying for, there were things that were both you know, goods and services. That's it's more like a drop in the ocean, but you know, when you pile it up, it becomes significant. And but today's discussion takes us to 2025, 17 to 27 May, Geneva, Switzerland, where the World Health Organization, member state representatives met for the 78th World Health World Health Assembly. To look at a global global health, the state of affairs globally, especially in countries that are UN member states, also signatories, obviously signatories to the World Health Health Organization. You are looking at it for they're basically looking at a whole broad spectrum of things, everything from financing and non-communicable disease, which I found a little scary. And in now our National Assembly Standing Committee obviously compiled a report, as they always do, and those reports, as they always do, land on our desks, and we just go through it, turn on the mic, and well, keep you company. Now,
but we always need company, Helmut. We you can't deny people company.
Look. You know, the reason why, two things that were emphasized here. One, of which I think, they basically had the whole agenda. That's one thing I liked about the report. The whole agenda, like on this agenda, this was what was discussed, and then there was this, and then there was this. Then there are two parts that I basically went through more, in more detail, was the non-communicable disease part and the financing part. The financing part is the one that took me to that America First Health Strategy. And that's something that has basically been proposed to, proposed to a lot of African countries to be, to sign up for, which sounds more like it's also a walk around the World Health Organization, health arrangements with the different countries, which I would have said, okay, what's going on here? But then again, you have to understand which guy is in executive office, so it's no surprises then.
Mm.
Now, when you look at it, there, the most important thing here is obviously the whole thing, the whole agenda, basically everything that was discussed there can boil down to one thing: financing. Because you can talk much about who must have access to what, but it all boils down to financing. If you can tell a service provider, for example, to reduce their prices of how, of their pharmaceutical products, you have to first understand the entire supply chain of the products they have in their store. If they can give it to you at a subsidized price, how much are they getting it from whoever is supplying them that those products?
The concern is also, Hamoud, we obviously also have to look to the future in terms of the future medical outbreaks. And I'm talking about future pandemics, future medical crises or health crises.
And we have
crises.
Always had pandemics as a species.
Yeah.
Ever heard of the Black Death?
Ever heard of the Spanish flu?
That one was interestingly named.
Do you know why?
Why?
No, but do you know why? Don't you remember the story?
No.
I think you also spoke about the story when you guys were still doing Free Your Mind.
Spanish flu.
Yeah. It was because the Spanish flu happened during the period when most of our grandparents, so we're talking about people that were born between 1900 and 1920. The reason why it was known as Spanish flu, it's a different variant of flu, was because it was just the Spanish media who reported on it.
Wait, what? That's the only reason?
That's the only reason. Guess what? It was what was that term that they use? When they suppress, the information about how it was spreading through, especially because since Britain was the largest colony operator.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry for using such a euphemistic term, guys. Let's say since the UK was the largest colonizer back then, it was spreading heavily through British colonies. So from New Zealand to Australia, into South Africa, into Namibia after the First World War, Spanish flu was ugly. It's literally you are sick, you get sick in the morning, you are dead tomorrow. You pass away tomorrow. And
that's all because of a flu.
Yeah, but it was a different variant of a flu. It was a very aggressive flu.
Let me guess, the living organism behind that is a virus.
Yeah, flu is, influenza is a virus.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. You know, so, virus are brutal.
So the discussion from there was based on, obviously, changing lifestyles, habits. Someone went and ate, once again, a dead animal somewhere for some reason, or someone decided to go and capture a wild animal somewhere and eat its flesh. That's what usually happens. Because that's how most of the zoonotic viruses jump from animal that does nothing to the animal.
Yeah.
The virus does nothing to that animal.
So the animal is jumping from is sort of like immune to the
actual virus it carries.
Have over time developed some kind of defense mechanism.
And it jumps over to the human because humans are not supposed to eat this animal. Hence the reason why no one goes and looks up. For example, you don't hear these conversations even in Namibia about approved meat. Meat meant to be eaten by humans. Meat that gives you the best dietary contribution, meaning that you get the most energy from.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you would be told, yes, most herbivores under the wild animal phrase,
mm-hmm.
Not elephant, not a lion, not even crocodile. But yes, most of the antelope is sort of like, okay,
mm-hmm.
Your goats, your basic goats at home, your basic sheep, your pig,
mm-hmm.
Pork, maybe horse, maybe, because the Europeans used to eat horse meat a lot. Because
I think it's still consumed in a lot of other countries.
Yeah. What's the country's name? Mongolia.
Mongolia, yeah.
Yeah, Mongolia, because it's part of their staple.
Yeah.
Even that place that I'd like to visit in Russia, Yakutsk or Yakutia.
Mm. They also.
They also, because they've only
got. Isn't that like the coldest?
Yeah, it's the coldest part.
You want to visit the coldest? Mind you, last time we went there, you didn't even visit the coldest part. You came back with the flu.
Helmut, I came back with a cough, man, that didn't end for 6 months. It didn't end for 6 months.
And you didn't visit the coldest part.
I wasn't even to the coldest part. I wasn't even in the height of their winter. And that's obviously one of the worst parts if you're from Southern Africa,
mm-hmm.
and you don't know that weather.
So requires some degree of transition.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you go look at the actual sort of like, what do they call that thing? Advised dietary indicators that you would find.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've been trying to find a advised dietary sort of like thing from the Namibian health authorities. What are we allowed to eat and not allowed to eat?
Mm-hmm.
Because if we're going to talk about future crises, the biggest concern is obviously when you look at places like the DRC that every year, it's not just the DRC, that West African neighborhood there, from Nigeria to Sierra Leone, there's always also various other particular kinds of epidemics that pop up there. And it's usually around people interacting with wildlife. Now, in the realm of looking at what agriculture has done for us, what has agriculture done for us, Helmut? What have you seen even from a communal farmer perspective? You are used to cattle, you know, cattle products.
Mm.
So that means humans and cattle have been living next to each other and with each other for
millennia,
thousands of years. You're used to goats. You're used to the other basic poultry products, chicken, geese, duck, turkey, you name it. So if you look at that relationship between humans and these animals, this relationship highlights to you, you are used to each other's particular, let's just call it ecosystems. Even though avian flu is a severe flu that targets poultry, but you should obviously do your best to look after your animals, specifically if you're an animal farmer. It's the same thing that goes for farmers that are, crop farmers specifically, who have to deal with crop variants. And if they want to now decide to become a experimenter with, or try to experiment with new variants of the same crop that they're busy farming with. Do you know why, Helmut? Medicine always has to deal with things that you interact in the broader environment out there. It's not things that you find in your house. It's things that you eat. It's things probably that want to eat you. It's things that I include.
I don't think you have to worry about medicine.
I include that as a pun. Please, guys, please look at it as a pun. Because there are probably things that would like to have a bite from you as a human. And that's the particular realm that we sit with. Now, that's also one of the reasons why we get the waterborne diseases as well. If you look at the waterborne diseases, you look at things like cholera, there's one kind of hepatitis associated to
unclean water.
Do you want to say unclean, or do we call it polluted?
Yeah, call it polluted, yeah.
Basically, yeah. Polluted water, and there's another one. There's a third one also associated to polluted water, drinking, you know, water not fit for human consumption. And yeah, I mean, if you lived with grandparents that were born in the 1900s coming this way, they would tell you, man, just go drink there from the well, there from the river.
Yeah.
You'll get strong very quickly. And the strong, getting strong part is literally you and diarrhea knowing each other, you know, just either in the bush there or behind the tree or at home in the, at the toilet.
Yeah.
So, dysentery is another waterborne illness. Dysentery and bilharzia is another waterborne disease. So, if you look at these particular water sources, I mean, much of life around the world is concentrated around fresh water sources. We are all competing for fresh water. But it's how we are living in our natural environment, even in Namibia, how we interact with these various environments in the broader Namibian environment, which is the big discussion here. Now, yes, we sent a bunch of MPs last year. The MPs, they were from committee were they? The Committee of Gender.
That's why I want to join these guys. These guys are traveling a lot.
Yeah. Look, Hamut, you're obviously looking at, you know, the potential. The potential, you know, what do they call that? The potential, you know, niceties that can be derived from traveling. But these guys had to go do something. I just don't know, you know, if they were impacting or having impactful discussions, even though we're sitting with the report showing that, you know, what their activities were based upon. But yeah, so the parliamentary committee that we sent there to this IPU discussion about, the World Health Organization, which was in collaboration with the World Health Organization.
Yeah, well, World Health Assembly.
Yeah, World Health Assembly, yeah. Which is the WHO and the Inter-Parliamentary Union, which is also one of the oldest UN organizations, the IPU. So we sent the Standing Committee on Gender Equality, Health and Social Welfare, obviously to go and observe, participate, and also throw in, you know, a 10 cent there from Namibia. Not the actual Namibian 10 cent, guys. We don't want to embarrass ourselves with such... You know, other people were throwing there in 1 euros and chutersa, so we don't want to look that bad. But to also throw in what we know from a Namibian perspective of, you know, what the global health discussion should be. But there's one interesting assumption here in the introduction and background, Helmut, that took place there. Because I know this report was written by the committee members in Namibia.
Yeah.
But their participation, but they cited here, Let me just get the sentence. It's the statement primarily around the global health or the global world is seeing a reduction in healthcare around the world, meaning governments around the world are reducing the investment into one of the most important pillars of your human capital development. Now, human capital development is a two-pillar thing. It's investment in education and investment in health. Now, they cite here specifically that they've seen that there is, and this is what the IPU and the World Health Assembly has noted, that there has been increasing reductions in the expenditure of governments in the health, in their health sectors. Safe to say in Namibia, sure, our recent budget announcement, has not indicated, you know, that our public health investment will drastically expand, even though it has indicated an allocation to hire more, health personnel and professionals. And obviously there's must now the targeted plan to shift all public servants and civil servants to just get medical assistance from public health centers. So it's crucial for us to look at it in that lens. We are seeing positives on our side, positive, you know, scenarios. But across the world, the rest of the world is actually decreasing their investment in their own public health sectors, which you have to ask questions in terms of what's actually going on.
Yeah, like why?
I don't know, Albert. I mean, an interesting conversation that I recently watched was a guy that said, even though, oh yes, the latest World Happiness Report is there.
Oh,
so we might have to divulge about it. But as you remember from the World Happiness Report itself, even the one we did last year, the discussion there was based upon, standard of living, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the perceptions about standard of living. And it's always Finland and Denmark. But one guy, in a recent conversation highlighted, you might think from the World Happiness Report and all the statistics that speak about that the Scandinavian countries look like these dream scenarios or these dream templates.
Utopia.
Or these utopias of the happiest peoples in the country.
Yeah.
If you go there, for example, to the Swedens and the Norways and even Iceland, there are actual problems there in those societies regarding adequate and well-funded public health systems. Adequate and well-funded support care. I'm sorry for that distortion. Support care, which is also associated to the healthcare system. Because you don't just have primary healthcare. You've also got rehabilitative functions. You've also got old age care. You've also got health care, the other health care, which talks to, you know, looking after newborn baby, all those things, and also how you combat illnesses and diseases, those various functions of health care itself. And then there's obviously research and development. And what we don't hear much about from other countries, which is a very interesting thing that popped up, was that sometimes some of these governments, slowly but surely, decide to defund, meaning they withdraw or decrease funding for certain functions that was there for their public. You know, that was part of their public, public healthcare, operations. You go to the United Kingdom, a very good example. The NHS, in the UK at one stage was lauded as being one of the best public health systems in the world. What has happened? Just because the politicians in the UK are debating on discussions, yeah, we need to improve counterterrorism on this side. So let's take money from education and from healthcare.
Yeah, let's buy more guns.
And then if they take money from healthcare just to buy more guns and bullets from this on this side, on their right.
We all have that one thing only we do. That unique thing that makes you real, just like Vintuk beer.
For some, it's that secret handshake thing that makes you feel like family. For others, it's that brave hold my beer thing when the moment calls for courage. For friends, it's that fun podcast and cooler box thing where the best memories are made.
And for Vintuk beer, it's that barley, hops, and water thing. Let's raise a Vintuk beer for that real thing only you do. 100% real beer for real people. Not for sale to persons under 18. Drink responsibly.
You know, there's something about opening a Tafel Lager that brings people together.
Yeah, and once people come together, the voices follow.
Ideas get shared, laughs get louder.
New perspectives come up where you least expect them.
Because when people use their voice, conversations start.
And those conversations, they can refresh a moment and even shape what happens next.
So, grab a Tafel Lager and start the conversation. Tafel Lager, now we're talking. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Just a minute past the hour of 5, and we continue where we left off before the break.
Yeah, so when you look at the discussion, Helmut, for example, like the NHS in the UK, the NHS is actually the system that you would like, for example, in countries like Namibia, South Africa, and the likes. The problem in our scenario is, yes, no one said you may not have a private medical practice in Namibia, because there's actually an act that says, there's an actual law that says you may not limit someone from not operating a business. You must not, you cannot stop someone from having a business. You were supposed to designate what businesses should not be operated. In that regard, obviously, what happened in 1990? We started having private healthcare facilities pop up in Namibia. Private healthcare facilities are charging way more, but they help you immediately if you've got the money to pay. And if you go to private and if you go to public healthcare facilities in Namibia, Helmut, what happens? Let's say you now, you come walking out of the bush, Helmut. Let's say you come walking out of the bush right now. You were literally attacked now by a leopard in the bush here in the Comas region. Or let's go to your home region, Helmut. Let's say you go home now today, and you and a crocodile there decide to have the biggest fight for social media.
You can't see me.
Yeah. And now the crocodile gives you one, gives you one nice bite, you know, and one of the crocodile's teeth is stuck deep in your flesh. Now you come walking there out of the bush from the river, reporting to your local public health facility. That health facility will tell you we have to fly you to Windhoek. In between, the wound that you've got from that bite is busy festering.
Yeah.
It's busy turning all kinds of colors from the rainbow.
Infections are coming in.
Exactly. It's busy poisoning you from the inside out, meaning your bloodstream is busy poisoning yourself. Because you don't know what the, what various kinds of, what can I call them?
Just call it
organisms.
Type of microorganism that lives in that mouth.
In that mouth and in that river that crocodile lives in. You don't know what lives in that water there. So while you are waiting for the one quantum, the one Toyota Quantum ambulance to come from Windhoek to go pick you up and drive you back again, the downside is time is not your best buddy. But if you accessed, if you had the cash, and after you did your Royal Rumble there with the crocodile, and you decide, and you got that same wound, and you knew you had the money, you just walked into the closest private health facility there in your hometown, they would have helped you right there immediately. They would have disinfected it for you. They would have operated immediately on you. They'd have probably sent you to Rundu, because that's where the closest private health facility is that has an operating operating features and operating infrastructure, they would have assisted you right there. Now, the downside is, Helmut, yes, we're not saying as an ordinary Namibian, go and now live life to the fullest. That's not what Eagle FM and the Home Run Duo are saying. We're not saying, go and imagine yourself as Indiana Jones or as, what other favorite movie do I have that has an adventure situation to it? What is that rock movie with Sean William Scott? But anyway, we're not saying go and, you know, be Tarzan here in Namibia. No, we're not saying that. What we are saying, look at the ecosystem, look at the potential needs that you will have. Even as Namibia's urban centers will grow, they will balloon. And also look at what is currently being tackled. So what are you currently seeing being tackled? You know, if there is a, let's say there's a public pandemic outbreak here in the Namibian context. And we've had them before, a cholera, there was hepatitis outbreaks, cholera outbreaks, hepatitis outbreaks. Also look at, for example, things that come through from animals, foot and mouth disease. How do we respond to them? Which ministry takes lead? How does this ministry actually deal with this potential human threat?
You know, on the financing, if you just, now the financing part made agenda 4.8, that's on page 11.
I found that sentence. Sorry, man. It's on page 5, just below the bullet points. But you can continue, yeah.
Yeah. Page 11, Agenda 4.8 is basically talking about strengthening health financing globally.
Yeah.
And this is something that's actually, you know, it's very interesting because it takes you back to I believe 2001, where this, where this kind of discussion of strengthening, the health institutions to, to provide the best health services in basically around the world, World Health and UN member states. And as you can imagine, a lot of commitments and a lot of commitments were made
pledges.
Pledges were made with regards to, you know what, we'll be dedicating, it was agreed that every country will now be contributing 15% of its,
Oh, yeah, I remember last year. And we, how far did we get?
15%. No,
I think we were like a 12%. Because we were below. We were 9%.
We were at 9.
Yeah, remember, because it needed to be between 9 and 15% that your public health expenditure should have been, to say in an adequate measurement of the human capital development index that Namibia, remember, we scored so poorly as Namibia because we even fell behind Nicaragua.
Seriously, dude. Didn't have to point that out.
It was either Nauru. It was either Nauru that has like 15 farmers on its islands or Nicaragua. One of the two. We literally fell behind. And those 15 farmers are the president, the prime minister, and the minister of finance there on Nauru. We literally fell behind one of those two islands.
Now you're reminding me of Sri Lanka. But anyway, those guys took nepotism to a whole another level. But look, the thing is, it turns out the 15%, the 15% contribution to, 15% of a national budget contribution to health was, it goes back to the Abuja Declaration of
so many declarations now.
We have a lot of them. Now, if you look at this report, for example, on page, on page 11.
Yeah.
Yeah, the 4.8 financing agenda. One thing that you see there is, it points out that the assembly addressed the urgent need to strengthen health financing system when there is no progress made towards universal health coverage.
Yeah.
This discussion highlighted the finding of the 2023 Global Monitoring Report, which indicated that the world is off track in the meeting of SDG indicators 3.8.1, 3.8.2, and it further revealed that about 2 billion people face financial hardship due to the lack of due to out-of-pocket health spending. Now, with over 380 million pushed into extreme poverty due to the inequality in global health financing. Now, then when it goes to the next sentence, if you can see 15%, that one starts with member states reaffirmed in this discussion that took place last year. Member states reaffirmed commitment made in earlier declarations such as the Abuja declaration and the political declaration on UHC, stressing the importance of allocating at least 15% of national budget to health and increasing domestic public financing for sustainable health systems. Sustainable health systems, financing it with your own money. You don't have to sit there and wait for someone to come from some kind of international organization to come and help you. Well, it turns out we've been singing this song for a very long time because, in September of 2000, 189 heads of state adopted the Millennium Declaration designed to improve social and economic conditions in the world's poorest countries by 2015. Well, in 2026.
By 2009, what did they do? They began negotiating about the SDGs, Helmut. And by 2013, the SDGs were approved. So by 2015, nobody cared about the Millennium Challenge goals.
Oh, it gets worse. Subsequently, a set of 8 goals were devised, drawing on the Millennium Declaration as a way of tracking progress. Three of these relate specifically to health. Two two more health components. Now, in April of 2001, heads of state of African Union countries met and pledged. To set a target of allocating at least 15% of the annual budget to improve the health sector. At the same time, they urged donor countries to fulfill yet
more pledges.
Exactly. Look, some of these jokes that just write themselves.
Oh man. They urged donor countries, please do more.
To fulfill yet to be met target of 0.7 of their GNP as official development assistance. Now, that's the part that took me to the US, America First Health Strategy.
Which came out last year. Which sounds like benefit us first. So that means Namibians probably would have to pay more for American medication, which the American-owned president only last year discovered, why does my medication cost so much?
Yeah. And by the way...
Can you believe it? I mean, he only discovered last year. If he didn't get a phone call from a business guy that he knew, another millionaire who needed medication, who had to fly to France for medication, and... This fellow billionaire, or this fellow millionaire,
you found out that
told Trump, hey, listen, why does my painkiller in France cost $1? And why does it cost $50 per pill? $1 for the painkiller, for the whole box in France, but it costs $50 for one tablet of the same painkiller in the United States market.
Trump didn't even know this.
No, it's because how someone they recently had a they've must got a standing committee situation as well. But what I love about their standing committees is they would call a CEO, not this ridiculous thing Namibia does here. We go call the regulator, come talk to us about a private company in your sector. How much that? That's just what happened, Mus. With the previous National Assembly, that previous Standing Committee on Economics, they called the Bank of Namibia about the private sector banks' charges they charge
people. Yeah, I remember that one.
Remember when we had the conversation, I said literally, but you can walk into any bank and you can see the charges on the wall. How basic is that? And why didn't they call the CEOs of these banks? Tell them, hey, listen, we'd like to
We'd like you guys to explain to us how this whole charges thing works.
Come give us a PowerPoint presentation. Bring your legal representative.
Exactly. That PowerPoint, I mean, well, it's not like we didn't fly to South Korea for it.
Yeah, just to be given a PowerPoint presentation without even giving a speech. But anyway.
You gotta love your country.
Oh man. Namibia just knows how. Namibia, we fly to South Korea for a PowerPoint presentation. It's probably because it was paid for by the UN, but it was nice. It was nice. So, all that should have happened now. You interview Bank of Namibia last, but the first people you talk to is literally the executives of the banks. Ask them, what are your bank structure? What are your banks? What are your bank fees and your charges?
Mm-hmm.
How does it impact your customers?
They add up to that figure?
Yeah. Have you done an affordability analysis about your clients? We'd like to understand as a standing committee.
Yeah.
But our standing committees, I'll say it once again, it's the caliber of politician that we vote for, Helmut. It's the caliber of person that we install in the local authorities. It's the caliber of person that we see in National Council, National Assembly, that asks the pivotal questions. Do they think about you, or is it just the surface level engagement that they wish to satisfy? Because you also see that quality in the reports that come out.
Yeah.
Obviously, the rockstar reports that we've done so far. You know, the Auditor General so far seems to be beating everybody.
Oh, yeah.
In rockstar reports.
Ombudsman.
Ombudsman was still unique. Because Ombudsman literally went like, we didn't ask for this, but hey,
thank you very much for snitching on yourself.
You know, but you know what? There you go. for saying we've got the authority and we can make such judgment calls.
Yeah,
but
and
you actually
also
cannot,
this vetting process, we didn't do this. We outsourced this service, like,
which you were not supposed to do, Elsa.
You're not supposed to do that, but go on.
But go on. You know, continue. Shoot the dig that hole yourself, you know. We didn't give you the shovel. I don't know how you found it, but it's your shovel.
So proud of you. Keep going.
So, yeah, so the Ombudsman's report is unique. The performance reports that the Office of the Auditor General has done is so far the best that we've seen. Yeah. Looking at sectoral impact, system ministry and agency impact on the Namibian economy and the Namibian, the overall operate, it's actually the Namibian economy, basically, because it has economic impact in itself. And the one or two of the committee, the standing committee reports. For example, that one we did last week of the uranium exploration. There was one question that wasn't satisfied, Helmut.
Yeah.
There was one question. And I would have loved it if they actually spoke to the lobby group, the commercial farmers.
The NGO.
Group, the NGO,
yeah.
Which had benefited from the exploration beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also see it would have been a dead-end approach because technically it was already highlighted that these guys benefited.
Look, I wouldn't be shocked to find out that they used some of the money they benefited to start the NGO. Look.
Okay, yeah, Hamid, because if they've been paying $1 billion, if that company paid $1 billion Namibian dollars just in exploration activities and related investments, my goodness, Hamid, that's unheard of.
Well, that explains why they started an NGO, because that's a lot of money to lose.
That's unheard of, Helmut.
Okay, seriously, Namibians will never be serious.
Namibians will never be serious. Because, I mean, okay, now the exploration stops on your side. What now?
So
now you're going to play, now you're going to be, so you're going to act now in bad faith. Because it was firstly the commercial guys benefiting. Now that it moves to the communal land, and
all of a sudden there's a problem.
There's a problem. Now, do you know what's a sneaky suspicion, Albert?
Mm-hmm.
And this is just a suspicion. It's an unfound suspicion, but it's a suspicion that shows there might be a bigger fire hiding there. Why? Because the fear is potentially that there is more of the deposit in the communal land area. Instead of the deposit lying on commercial land.
Yeah, but the only way to find out is they property. Have to carry out all the explorations.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you have to allow the entity, the investment partner, to do its work.
Look, I'm just so glad that the whole thing came out in the form of a report instead of just in articles out of the media.
Yeah, and here in say and being, what's that word? Being captured, you know, the media being captured by the interested parties, yeah. Either by the company or either by the, because that's actually what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
The NGO would run, like I explained last week, the NGO would run to one of the media outlets or two of the media outlets. And they would just publish that side.
Their side of the story.
Of the story. And then the company then has to invite all the media. And Dwight is wondering, why are we coming to another media event?
Mm-hmm.
To eat nice food, you know, catering food and have a few beers and then be given another PowerPoint presentation. I'm like, so where does this PowerPoint presentation come from? Who did what? Who instigated what?
So it turns out chances are very high the whole time that they were holding all these this whole media engagements, it was to clarify the.
It was reputation management in PR, in public relations.
So what they did not say directly was, you know what, guys,
we are responding because we saw a media report.
Because one of you guys here will betray me.
We called you here because
we have a Judas somewhere in here between
and
you.
We know who the Judas is.
Yeah. We just don't want to mention any names.
We don't want to point any fingers. But then Dwight would be pulled one side and be whispered, you know what? It's actually
that guy.
That media outlet there. And I'm like, okay, so you call us all together to make it look like, you know that thing that the teachers used to do when we were in primary school?
Yeah.
It's one dumb kid that goes and does something and it's the naughtiest one. The whole class gets punished. Everyone now has to go stand in the sun. Everyone has to now go walk through the whip, you know?
Yeah.
The whipping that we all get. So it's that kind of a reaction that always took place. And I was like, why do you do this?
Well, call whoever wrote the article, sit them down and tell them, actually, this and this and this is what you got wrong. Here is extra information that you can fill in there.
Yeah, we got all that, Helmut. I got all that.
Well, the from discussion the look of things, the National Assembly Standing Committee on Natural Resources got that information also.
As well.
They were provided with the information. Yeah.
But that's why you needed a neutral entity to go and see for themselves firsthand. Yeah. And that's what they've done. That's why that report in its own right is so unique.
Oh, yeah,
do you know why? They're also the only ones that can point fault at who was the interfering entity.
Those guys can beat around the bush. We don't want to, we are not saying anything, but we just find it curious that the time these explorations were set to move from the from commercial to communal, it's about the same time that an NGO that opposed the exploration also popped up out of the blue.
And it seemed, and then, you know what's the worst
part? I'm not saying anything, but it's just suspicious.
It's also interesting that at the same time that that NGO pops up, the water drilling permits or the borehole drilling permits from the Ministry of Agriculture, Water and Land Reform gets revoked. It's the only entity that revokes permits. And then finally, Namibia is using an act that just sounds a bit too archaic. Guys, it's not our words. It's in the report. It's free to download. You can find it on the National Assembly's website.
Oh, you want to read
and
that.
And you will love it.
Especially if you're in Omaheke, you want to read that.
If you want to know, okay, the people of America obviously know who's been interfering in things somewhat. They know.
They just don't want to mention any names.
No, bro. Helmut, it's, if, to not talk to anyone political.
Yeah.
But to talk to people who come from the communal farming community.
Yeah.
Of Omaheke region, you will hear that it looks not, it's a nasty discussion. It's literally, if you think about it, the stories that you hear about, you know, these two forces regarding a natural resource. It's technically similar to the UIS discussion. You know, the miscommunication.
Yeah.
But take it, just flip it on its head and give it a different face. It looks
because
ugly.
This is more about, more about opposition than miscommunication.
Exactly.
Yeah, this was intentional opposition, not, you know, more than, because quote unquote illegal lithium mining.
Which was not deemed technically illegal.
Yeah.
Because
that's why I said quote unquote.
The same committees, that committee saw that it seemed like the paperwork was in order.
Yeah.
But
there's
just
also miscommunication going on.
Yeah. So, in this scenario, this is actually fellow Namibians opposing each other.
Yeah, it's a...
So, the one Namibian is trying to prevent the other Namibian from also benefiting.
That's why I equated it to one of those toxic relationships of, if I can't have you, no one will. Because,
I don't want to know women like that, Helmut.
Look, from... yeah, me neither. Have you seen...
I wave at them.
You see,
from the side of the
what's
street.
The Titus TV show.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a comedy show that was very politically incorrect. They had to cancel it at season 3.
I will not ask questions. I would.
Don't ask.
I will not ask questions.
Yeah, now, the thing is, if you look at it, having, take for example, bodies like the standing committees, it helps clear out a lot of, ambiguities in terms of what's going on in the ground.
Mm.
Like the lithium mining, for example. If you're just reading all that stuff, take for example from one newspaper article to the next, it's very easy to conclude that, okay, you know, maybe there's something fishy going on here. Mm. You can easily just make one of those, Hyundai Assembly Plant phone call that will end up with you having, you know, with your country having to, basically you starting a diplomatic uproar.
Mm.
Bodies like your National Assembly Standing Committee, National Council Standing Committee, then they can, you know, wherever all this like tit for tat is going on in between different entities. Maybe you take, for example, investors or you know, an organization and the local community of wherever it's operating in the country. They can just show up and they do the necessary investigation, bring all the parties together, get their side of the story, and then draw a conclusion from there.
Mm.
You know, with all the necessary recommendations. Now, this is pretty much the same, you know, the same type of committees that basically brought us this quality of what's a World Health Assembly.
Yeah,
yeah. Now, again, financing is a very significant part of it. You will have to buy it. Anything that you want to, you know, if you want to provide universal health access, you'll have to figure out how you're going to find, how you are going to fund it. Because part of universal health access would obviously require to have a lot of hardware that's used to in the diagnostics of a lot of diseases. It wasn't until, you know, I went for my, you know, for my pecs, for my specs, that's when I realized just how much, you know, just how much testing goes into determining what type of lens is specifically for your sight, whether it's farsightedness or nearsightedness. You need a specialist that has the right type of machines to basically help determine what type of lens is correctly for your eye, you know, for your eyes problem. You can't just pick someone's specs and put them on and hope things, you know, are going to be okie dokie.
And now, the environment you live in.
The environment you live in, factor that in.
Yeah.
And if you now throw in things like, like cancer screening, for example, like your CT scans, for example, your X-ray, all those things, all those machines are made somewhere. And, you know, unless you make them, which we don't, you have to buy them. And all the specialists that are going to operate them, especially your CT scan, I just found a couple of videos a couple of days ago on YouTube about how dangerous that machine is when it's running because of, you know, it's of how strong the magnet is, which is why you ask, do you have any metal implant in you?
Mm.
Because if they...
You could end up like Wolverine.
Oh, yeah. Like really fast. Because when it's running, the magnet is so strong, even if you have that metal deep in your tummy, is going to come out flying.
How much that's the basis for a horror movie, you know? But yeah.
Runaway
CT scan machine.
Yeah, runaway CT scan. I don't think I want to deal with a runaway CT scan machine. I've been shoved in one of those before. Now, the thing is...
Did you have metal parts in you?
No, I don't have, thank God. Now, the thing is, the guy that sort of like made a demonstration to show how strong the magnet is, used, you know, a very large, you know, a very big chain.
Mm.
Yeah. Was just holding it from a safe distance, and then they turned, then they turned on the machine. Yeah. That thing just flew straight to the machine, like really, 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 like at a breakneck speed.
Mm.
So the thing is, all these machines must be bought, and all your ingredients for both synthetic and natural ingredients that you need for all your different types of medicines must be bought. Except for the money part, the U.S. America First Global Health Strategy 2025. The financing part is the one that took me to page 11 again of that document. And embarrassing enough, page 11 talks about the culture of dependency. What they're pointing out here is that the concept of ensuring health programs, the second paragraph, the concept of ensuring health programs are resilient and country-owned is not a new one. Each of the last three presidents' administrations had developed strategies. These are U.S. presidents. Strategies to transition public health programs to local ownership.
Which is good.
Yeah.
In just that first sentence, that is good, Helmut. That is what we want in a Namibian context.
The next one starts with unfortunately.
Unfortunately. Let's hit it off. You know, it's always good to put a lofty disposition. You know, put it on a horse. Present the idea to the person. You know, this is where we want you to be. On the horse. Riding your own destiny.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
your riding skills have not improved.
Unfortunately, we find you without a license and that you are golf-toing around here.
Yeah, then it goes on to say that, unfortunately, despite bipartisan political support for moving towards this goal, minimal progress had been made. For example, across the 23 largest programs supported by U.S. government, recipient governments only cover on average 30-40% of the cost response, with the remaining covered almost entirely by the U.S. government and the global funds.
Which depicts to you, Helmut, there's a big problem in the rest of Africa. Now, this makes things interesting.
Yeah.
Because in this this IPU WHA participatory report, because it was about participation, that our MPs went there.
Oh, of course.
They highlighted there, literally in the first pages, I just want to be sure about this page. They highlighted right there on page 6 that, or the last sentence on page 6, the not the Roman numeral, the actual page 6. However, the adoption of the World Health Assembly's of the Assembly does not signify legally binding implications for the individual member states who were in attendance, or an automatic obligation to sign or implement said agreement. Said agreement, Helmut, is associated to the World Health Organization's constitution, which is a question I'm asking now. So if you have Ministry of Health, but you send National Assembly MPs on a standing committee to an inter-parliamentary union engagement in Geneva, Switzerland, who are asked to adopt parts of the World Health Organization's constitution, to sign it, agree upon it, without this particular thing sort of like being scrutinized by the Namibian government, which is supposed to scrutinize all bilateral agreements or multilateral agreements that might impose one or other obligation on us. How do you expect MPs to go make a decision on behalf of 3 million Namibians without giving them said particular authority to do so? And on the one side, we have a Ministry of Health with its minister, with the Prime Minister, with the Attorney General of the country, with the President of the country, who are said empowered peoples to engage in contracts on behalf of Namibia. Now, how can you expect a bunch of MPs to go and make a decision at a global engagement in Switzerland and they don't have that power? And
wait, wasn't the minister part of this delegation?
No, representatives. It says representatives of the Ministry of Health.
Mm-hmm.
So, which also does not mean that they had the ability to say yes, probably. Meaning someone had to sign it.
Okay.
Or someone had to agree upon it.
I'm going
to
say that's a page 5, last sentence, first part, last paragraph, first two sentences.
Yeah.
What do you make of that?
These guys. Because the interesting thing also,
yeah,
the agreement is guided by, is it from the agreement?
Yeah.
No, that's page 6. That's page 6, sorry. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, on page 5, last paragraph.
Yeah, so we had representatives from the Ministry of Health led by, yeah, so she was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she was there. Yeah.
Yeah, she was there. The minister was there. Minister of Health and Social Service. And now my favorite part of this delegation is the... that's on page 6. Supporting officials from the National Assembly Secretariat, including Dr. Bridget Fikunawa, Chief Policy Analyst, Research Information and Editorial Service. RIPES? Really? That's an abbreviation?
It's Parliamentary Services.
No kidding.
Yeah. I also had discovered that they have various entities and offices.
Right.
So it's technically a parliament official.
Okay, you know what? Yeah, so the minister from the, now from the report, from the look of things, or from what the report indicates, the minister was there. And now, the thing is,
And the Angolan president was also there.
Yeah, the Angolan president.
With his ministers and other senior government officials. So the whole Angolan government was in Switzerland.
Leave Angola out of this.
What did they want to go do?
It's Switzerland. Everyone want to go to Switzerland. It's, I mean, isn't it like the most expensive country on the planet?
For a tourist, yeah. And Tokyo is the most expensive city in the on the planet for a tourist. So if you want to avoid Tokyo, you fly to Tokyo and you run out of Tokyo to see the rest of Japan. Instead of flying to Tokyo and staying in Tokyo.
You don't want to stay in Tokyo.
Yeah, you get out of Tokyo. But if you fly to Switzerland, you're stuck in Switzerland because the whole country is expensive.
The whole country is expensive.
Yeah.
Now, this Agenda 4.4 is also one that I found very interesting because they really zoned in on non-communicable disease. One example that they used there, because it has a very significant, you know, more like concerning numbers in terms of cause of death, and you know, and they made projections based on the numbers they had available to look at the fact that if nothing is done in terms of you know, making health services more efficient globally, by 2050, kidney disease is going to be then the fifth cause of death. And when I was reading through that, I thought it was, maybe kidney is going to be number one. And no, it turns out, you know, that spot is specially left for, is it heart disease or high blood pressure? One of these two. Sugar, heart disease, high blood pressure. These three are always
talking. They call it the dreaded diseases. Mm-hmm. High blood pressure.
High
blood sugar.
And you have heart disease.
Heart disease, oh, and diabetes, and...
Yeah, high blood sugar. Wait, diabetes is, that's high blood sugar.
Yeah. So that's what the insurers call it. When the insurance companies come to you, Helmut, and you want a policy from them,
mm-hmm.
insurance policy, and they said, no, we've got to test you for the dreaded three diseases. You're like, what are those? Cholesterol, diabetes, mm-hmm. and heart disease. And then secretly you get tested for other things while you give that your blood monster. You get tested for HIV and for tuberculosis and other things in between, just so to make sure you're not showing up here with any hidden ailments here.
Yeah. It's sort of like showing up to a car insurance company. They want to, have you been in an accident before? Because we don't want to deal with.
No, a car insurance company, they will know already. If you've ever been in a car accident,
yeah.
meaning you drove the car,
yeah.
you owned the car. You were involved in an accident. Because yeah. they share, I don't know how they do it, but I've heard from someone that was informed when they were in a car accident
mm-hmm.
that the insurer told you do know that we can't insure you anymore, right? And he was like, what?
How do you guys know?
And he was like, what? He said, yeah. Even though you might not be at fault for the accident,
yeah.
Based upon their investigation, because they hire a private investigator to go and look up and, you know, research the situation, the accident. And then they say, even though you are not at fault.
It was in your fault, yeah.
Just know we can't insure you anymore.
And why?
So, and that technically also means they then share, I don't know how they share it. It's like with ITC, the International Credit Union.
Yeah.
They share... Or you get blacklisted or something like that as a consumer.
Yeah.
Just know this is a high-risk consumer. If you're taking a risk on this consumer will have to pay X percentage of premiums versus a regular consumer who is conservative, who doesn't take chances, who doesn't take risks, who doesn't drink and drive, who doesn't, you know, do all these particular things, who doesn't drive at night and all those scenarios.
Now, on Agenda 4.4, the Assembly adopted a resolution to bring kidney health to the forefront of the global non-communicable disease NCD agenda. And chronic kidney disease, CKD, affects over 674 million people globally, making it one of the fastest growing cause of death. And it was highlighted by many member states that were in attendance, obviously, that without urgent intervention, kidney disease is estimated to become the fifth leading cause of death by 2050. The Assembly then adopted a resolution to respond to the growing concern over inequalities in access to diagnostics and treatment, particularly in low and middle income countries. Put Namibia in that bucket, where dialysis and kidney transplant remains largely unaffordable and inaccessible. Now, that part took me to some of the actually very sad news that came out of Kenya, I think beginning last year, when one private hospital was caught in a scandal of illegal organ, you know, kidney transplant for sale in Kenya. A lot of young people were actually, you know, a lot of parents found themselves in public hospital with a sick child, only to be told by the doctors in attendance that, has your child recently had any operation? The mother was like, no, it doesn't. They're like, oh, okay, then why is he only having one kidney? Now,
so that means there's kidney harvesting taking place in Kenya.
Yeah. I mean,
which was the big concern also in Southeast Asia and also in Latin America. There was a story. When I was a first year student at Hamilton University, I once told my elder siblings, you know, I'd like to go and see places like Brazil and Argentina, you know, as a Namibian, you know, because you've got these lofty dreams. You don't want to go to an expensive tourism destinations like Europe. You want to go see other places that are comparable and affordable for your currency, the Namibian dollar. You know, because you're showing up here with Hendrik Witbooi, you know. So you've got to find the best deal. Just to be told, Dwight, have you heard of what happens in Sao Paulo? No, not Sao Paulo, in Rio de Janeiro. And that, I'm talking about here in 2004 to 2008, 2009, 2010.
Yeah.
How the organ trafficking syndicates operate from Brazil to Argentina, to what's the country, right? That the guys leading up there through Venezuela to Colombia to Ecuador on your way here to Central America, how they operate there. I was like, okay.
Wait, it's an organized crime syndicate?
Yeah. And
holy
if you're
cow.
In Asia, it's from those Thailand. Thailand, Philippines. What's the other country's name? Malaysia neighborhood there. How they also, you know, if you're a tourist, you find yourself just in the wrong situation at the wrong time of day.
Best case scenario.
You accidentally smiled with a girl. She was just too pretty to smile at. You didn't know it was the local warlord's daughter or his wife. Or that he's married to the whole town's women. You didn't know that. Situations like that.
A smile from a girl, that means most of the victims are my gender. Makes sense.
Even just a couple of days ago, I told my sister, no, I'd like to see Sicily. You know, Italy has two island zones.
Yeah.
Sardinia, the island of Sardinia and the island of Sicily. Mm. And I told my sister, no, I'd like to see Sicily. And my sister was like, everyone there, from the dishwasher in the restaurant to the waiter in the restaurant. So, right, if you accidentally smile at someone's daughter there, you have the whole mafia showing up on your doorstep on your way to your bed and breakfast. I said, yeah, that is true. But I'm not there to smile at people's women. I'm there to see the place. I'm not there to put myself, you know, in harm's way. So there are situations, unfortunately, that even though it was said in jest, it was said as a joke.
Yeah.
The concern is still organized crime in certain parts of the world are still, it's still heavy.
France 24 put up this article that was in September. Now this is from September. Kenyan authorities launched an investigation into a major kidney trafficking ring, and wealthy international patients have been traveling to the East African country to obtain life-saving organs, while venerable local donors are exploited to sustain this lucrative trade. Despite government crackdown, the network continues to operate. Explains the syndicate part.
Yeah.
Continues to operate, raising urgent ethical and legal questions. Now, for more than a decade, Kenya has quietly become a hub for international organ trafficking network. Patients from countries including Germany, France, Israel, and Russia have been traveling there, paying up to 200,000 euros to bypass a long-awaited list of kidney transplant in their own countries. So, kidneys are on demand.
Not just kidneys.
What?
Hearts, lungs. The whole human body can be harvested except for the brain.
That sounds very, very, very...
Yeah, if you've watched enough and you know your biology... It's a pretty dark world out there.
Yeah.
But before we continue, we're going to take a live read, Helmut, and we'll come back after that.
Please. That'll be a nice break.
Velvita University, for the 2026 January applications that are now extended for the Faculty of Law, Commerce, and Education. For the following programs: Certificate in Project Management Level 5, Certificate in Supply Chain Management Level 5, Diploma in Legal Studies Level 6, Diploma in Supply Chain Management Level 6, Diploma in Project Management Level 6, Bachelor of Education in Senior Primary Education Honours, Bachelor of Education in Secondary Education Honours, Bachelor of Laws Honours, Bachelor of Supply Chain Management Honours, and the Bachelor of Project Management Honours. For more information, please call 081-403-6406, Velvita University, where everyone is an achiever.
Oof.
But you still have not left, you are still not unsurprised by...
Me being a commodity?
Yeah, Helmut. It's an unfortunate realization, but it is a reality. Eyeballs can be transplanted. I don't know about tongues. I don't know about ears, but I've seen now a face can be transplanted. Cosmetic surgery has been one of the biggest proponents of medical science research and development.
Yeah.
But it also has like flowed out. You know, imagine a container that has a positive of holding, you know, the water or the river.
Yeah.
But the container has got like small little holes in it. And those little holes lead to someone else having a smaller container just right side, just right next to that bigger container, collecting what's leaking out. It's not even flowing, overflowing at the top.
Yeah.
It's leaking out here at a dubious angle that can literally compromise the whole structure of the container. Imagine illegal organ trafficking like that. And it makes things really scary.
It really
makes things scary.
The whole market of human body parts, that's dark.
We're obviously not yet there, but if you think about it.
No, I mean globally.
Yeah, because I mean that which can be transplanted already. So you've got heart, lungs, kidney, liver, eyes can be transplanted. A face can be transplanted. What else is there? There's something else that can also be transplanted.
How come no one wants to transplant a stomach?
Because you produce the acid, the hydrochloric acid. No? Uh-huh. What is the acid's name?
It's hydrochloric
acid. Because your stomach produces itself.
Yeah.
You can transplant, I think, the enzymes that are found in your digestive tract from your stomach to your small intestine or to your big intestine. I forgot which one comes first. Because there's also enzymes on the way out at the end of the last part of your intestine, the one that leads to the rectum.
Yeah.
That there's also enzymes there in your digestive tract. So yeah, except for the brain, there's a whole bunch of things that can be transplanted. Except for limbs like fingers, toes, they can't be transplanted. Bone marrow, which is used in leukemia.
I understand bone marrow is a big...
It's also a big business. So bone marrow can also be transplanted. But the thing about bone marrow is the patient must be related to the donor.
So genetics.
Genetics have to match up. Hereditary genetics. And what's the other one also? I just thought about it right now. There's another thing that can also be transplanted. But anyway, yeah. That primarily is the gist, Helmut.
Yeah, this is just a short in there.
So, it went got dark pretty quickly, no?
Yeah. No one is planning on transplanting any Johnson, is it?
No.
Oh, hey, thank
that
God.
Can't happen. Hey. But they can construct one for you.
No, I'm good. Mother Nature already took care of that. Now, key outcomes.
But they can also do the reverse, remember that?
No, I'm good.
But that's a totally different discussion.
Yeah, I'm good. Now, that I have heard of and been saying I'm good. Now, they... nope.
So, yeah.
Now, some of the key outcomes, since we only have like 9 minutes left here from the, from the report is the pandemic agreement adoptions. You have, that's one. And you have, public health and social measures. You have, lung health integration. I think that's a very big one. That's a very big one. The lung health discussion it took me to last year's discussion of the whole vaping discussion.
The Standing Committee on Vaping.
Yeah.
That other report.
Yeah.
Which was a bit of a weird report, but it was a report that actually shone a light on what's happening in our schools.
Yeah.
Because it focused on teenagers.
Yeah. And not just that, it's also one of those things that is not well regulated and not well researched with regards to what type of effects it poses in a long run.
I still believe that since it's a tobacco product, it should have been treated similar to a tobacco product. But I mean, once again, it's how adaptive Namibia's legislative ability is, Hamid. Because what we've seen so far is the politicians have to play catch up every time. Even if we look at that Omaeke uranium mining thing of last week, for 5 years. For 5 years, the project has been standing still.
Yeah.
After it had been functioning for 10 years.
Yeah.
So for 5 years, no politician was willing to make a move on the discussion.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? Like the Nature Resources Standing Committee
was asking.
Between 2021 to 2025, like.
They were asking, all the time. You know, they still don't understand why a specific act was now revived to now become functional, and said particular act was now used to punish the investor. But the investor for 10 years before 2021 was literally investing a whole bunch of money.
That's a very terrible precedence. If you are an investor that's planning on investing, even think of investing in a different sector, because the question you'll be asking is this how you guys operate?
Yeah.
I will have to spend about $1 billion of my money. That's when you'll tell me there's a legislation we forgot to tell you about.
Yeah. And the finance minister herself with the budget tabling last month, she literally said investors are telling her, the Ministry of Finance.
She did want
clarity on your policies. Yeah. So if you've got one ministry doing his or her own thing that side, and two ministries, remember, Ministry of Mines and Energy, former Ministry of Mines and Energy, and Ministry of Environment, both were in agreement upon the exploration activity.
Back in 2021.
Up to 2021.
Is it 2011. 2011.
Yeah. Yeah. So up to 2021.
That's when you're saying, you know what?
Suddenly now.
We gave you half information.
Suddenly now, the other.
We are sorry you spent a lot of your money.
Yeah. Suddenly now, we are unhappy with what you're doing. Suddenly now, we don't like what you're doing.
I think I'd be very embarrassed to actually,
write that
5 years later, just sit in front of an investor after they spent millions of
a
their
money.
Yeah. A billion of their money, and you're telling them, you know what, about all that money, we are sorry for that. The thing is, we left out some of the information we're supposed to. It's not your fault. It's entirely ours. We were supposed to provide this information to you when you came asking for investment environment.
And it was the same ministry.
What?
It was literally the same ministry.
Oh, I didn't think of it that way.
That caused the hardship for that discussion regarding, remember the seaweed guy?
Oh, yeah, the technicality
discussion. Because there was supposed to be a response made by the ministry within a certain time frame.
And
that lapsed because the regulation used by the Directorate of Fertilizers, what was that directorate's name? Because they said, no, we can't register you guys. Even though the rest of the world
is shopping for you.
Is shopping for this one resource and Namibia is exporting, but Namibia can't sell internally.
And look, it's organic. And the Auditor General, just the world, you know, sort of pointed out that dilemma of solving food insecurity and the fertilizer is going to cause a problem for the ministry, the fertilizer being used by the inorganic fertilizer being used by the Minister of Agriculture is in a long run going to cause environmental problems that the Minister of Environment will have to attend to. Mm.
It's 3-0 that Minister of Agriculture had been suffering.
Ministry of Agriculture.
3-0. I don't know how long that football match is, but it's 3-0 that they've been losing on these discussions. Which actually shows how much.
Okay.
For some reason, it seems like the officials we've got in government are not working to improve systems. They're just like, okay, we've got the system, thank you. The system is 30 years old, 40 years old. We won't improve on it.
Look, the previous Minister of Agriculture, from the previous administration, and the Natural Resources Standing Committee from, again, the previous administration, these two guys have a lot of questions to answer if they were still here, because the Minister of Agriculture will have two to answer. One is the, one in Umhake, and the one about seaweed, organic fertilizer. Why? And the mines, again, from the previous administration, would have to answer the questions of why the heck did you say yes to an investor investing about over $1 billion of his money before giving him full information of obviously something you were supposed to provide them before they put before they made a decision to sign a check. Like, that's embarrassing.
No, it is, Helmut. That's why I said literally the statement I made.
I mean, I totally understand the Minister of Finance's, a budget speech about investors wanting clear information from the get-go with regards what legislations am I going to be working under. I want to go through them so I don't have any surprises.
And I'd like to know, what is your goal? What do you want me to do as said investor? Because we can't come here to a discussion, Helmut, and literally say, yeah, we don't like you driving a red car. We want you to drive a blue car. What? Why? It's a car. It still does its particular purpose.
Yeah, like, look, if you don't allow red cars in your country, you should have told me that before the thing is, the problem is I brought it into the country. It went through registration
process. The worst part is even, you bought the red car at a local Namibian business.
There you go.
You supported a local Namibian business as an investor because you were told you can't import a car.
You have to buy it here.
You have to buy
it here. So you bought it here.
And you asked for a red car because, let's say, your company identity is based upon that some of your transport needs needs to be a red car.
Plus, if they have it, if the dealership in the country has it.
Why not?
Yeah, exactly.
Why not order it? Because why would you have to go and pre-spray a car?
If you can buy one.
Yeah, just like that. And now just to be told, no, red cars are meant for the ambulance. What? You were supposed to tell me that.
Sound like some of the...
I know it's a little bit of a flimsy excuse and a flimsy example to use, guys, but still, it highlights...
Yeah, but really just provide all the information from the get-go. That's if you don't want to be seen as fishy.
Well, the OAG's... the OAG's report on the Directorate of Mines was one of, you actually see what our government officials are up to. But before we continue, guys, we'll quickly take a short ad break.
You know, there's something about opening a Tafel Lager that brings people together.
Yeah, and once people come together, the voices follow.
Ideas get shared, laughs get louder.
New perspectives come up where you least expect them.
Because when people use their voice, conversations start.
And those conversations, they can refresh a moment and even shape what happens next.
So, grab a Tafel Lager and start the conversation. Tafel Lager, now we're talking. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world, tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the only person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. 2 minutes into the hour of six. So business and economic segment time. Just to basically wrap that up, two things. They went through the, this committee basically covered a lot of what took place, basically from one agenda to another. One agenda to the next of what took place in Switzerland last year with regards to the global health, way of things. And since we are a UN member states, and also, you know, the World Health Organization, was one of the organizations present, basically, spearheading this discussion. It's safe, I think, for me as a Namibian to say that, as much as we complain about the public health sector here, if you compare it to a lot of other countries, we have a lot of, we have a lot going on for us.
Mm.
We have a lot going on for us if you draw a comparison. I have one friend of mine that like to point at one of our neighboring country. I don't want to mention any names, that if I ever find myself in that country and I'm sick, I'm hopping on a plane.
To Namibia.
Because he was there, I think, somewhere,
Mention names, Hamoud. We are Southern Africans.
I think it was around 20,
Like bashing each other.
Yeah, I think he was there around 2011, 2010.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was sick. It didn't end well. The public health sector was terrible.
No, just mention names so we know. This is a safe space.
I'm planning on traveling there. I know this is a safe space, but when I get there, the moment I say, where's your passport? There you go, sir. That voice sounds familiar. That's how I know I'm cooked. Now.
Just remember, you might be deep fried, Helmut.
Yeah. Very much. So 4 minutes into the hour of six, that brings us to the end of Home Run for today. For me, until tomorrow, same time, same place. You'll stay tuned for business and economic segment with yours truly, David.
On that note, guys, enjoy the rest of your programming.